You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the Diamond District bonus hour, fourth and final hour of the show for Southwest Florida and Jacksonville. Thanks so much for being with us. Pat Kerwin, David Sampson to join us on the show at the very least tomorrow. If you're just joining us, you've already missed Gary Danielson, Ian Cummings, and Aaron Freeman. Go to millerandmoulton.com in short order, and you will be able to download what it is that you've missed. So just to prove a point, when we were talking the draft a moment ago and about the Bears, and obviously a lot of emphasis on the quarterback position, that, you know, they haven't had Jim McMahon's their best quarterback in the last, what, 60 years, 70 years?
Yes. I mean there's,
you know, it's not that other guys haven't had moments, but I mean, best Bears quarterback of the last 60 years is Jim McMahon, right? And the run was actually much shorter than people think. His personality was bigger than like his terrific run. Plus, Ditka was the coach for just about his entire Bears tenure, and they ran the ball and played defense. He was not asked to throw it all over the lot. Do you know who the leading receiver in Chicago Bears history is? And I'm going by receiving yards because he's third in catches.
Brandon Marshall.
You know, it's a great guess because he had three tremendous years when he averaged 93 catches a year. But no. In terms of receiving yards, he's 13th on the list. In terms of catches, he's in the top 10. Yards. Johnny Morris. His last game was 1967.
And that was when they ran the ball all the time.
Yeah. He is the only Bears receiver to have more than 5,000 yards receiving with the Bears. Does Justin Jefferson have that in the first 4 years of his career in Minnesota?
Let me look that up. I'm going to say it's really close.
I know he's had a 1,000-yard season every year. He may be under 5,000 total. Jefferson played 3 or 4 years?
3.
Okay, he's only played 3, so then obviously he wouldn't be there. I thought he played 4. My bad. But 5,000 yards. Johnny Wilson. Do you know who has the most catches in Bears history? Walter Payton. In his 13 years, he caught 492 passes. Matt Forte is 5 shy of Payton in terms of receptions. That's how non-dynamic the Bears passing game has been for, well, since we damn near have gone to color television.
David, I was wrong. Jefferson has played 4 years. His career yards?
5,899.
Okay, that's 840 more yards than the all-time leading Bears receiver.
How many touchdowns does the
Johnny
Bears...
Johnny Wilson?
Yeah.
31.
Jefferson's at 30.
Most catches, okay, touchdown catches in Bears history. Ken Kavanaugh. His career ended before the Korean conflict did, with 50 touchdown receptions. Second on the TD receptions list for the Bears is Harlan Hill, whose last catch was during the Kennedy administration. I mean, this is mind-boggling stuff here. I mean, we all know where the game has gone.
Just not in Chicago.
And which explains why it is they've only won the final game of the year once, but it's not like the Bears have been awful since the 85 team. They haven't been awful. They've had some good, really good teams. Hell, Lovie Smith got fired going 10-6 in his last year.
They went to another Super Bowl.
I was
going to
say, they played in the last game again.
Yeah, they've been in the second to last game a handful of times since then. Right.
The game
Jay
took
Cutler.
Off.
Jay Cutler was the starting quarterback in an NFC championship game for the Bears. But it is remarkable. They have played football damn near the same way since Sid Luckman, apparently. It's when you look at the numbers, it's like, okay. And now you could see why Caleb Williams' jerseys outsold Caitlin Clark's jerseys in the same period of time. You want to talk about a fan base, Mark? They're hungry for the full.
We will hope that that internet issue gets resolved quickly.
It's been a struggle here since 9 o'clock for whatever reason.
It's back.
Yeah, it's.
But what David is saying is that the game took off, and it left the Chicago Bears on the tarmac.
And I get you wanting to play a certain way, win a certain way, but also, I mean, think about a fan base, though. Fan base is used to football being played a certain way. You know, and think about it. Butkus, Singletary, Urlacher. You know, we're used to monsters of the midway. We're defense first. Middle linebacker outside of Walter Payton is the star player on the team. We don't play that game anymore.
Hell, that position's largely been eliminated in the sport. That style of middle linebacker, at least.
Yeah.
And so, because remember, what was Roquan Smith going to do? He was going to continue. He was going to be the next great Bears middle linebacker.
That's their style, and they're sticking to it.
But, well, I mean, you know, one. Listen, and I don't know if it matters, but Trent, you've come on Twitch at 9 o'clock, and I don't know if they were overloading the internet because of it.
We might be. I can hop out of here.
But one 5,000-yard receiver in franchise history.
And look at the...
I mean, if Jefferson...
But look at the receivers they've put around Caleb Williams. Look at what they're trying to put together. Now they have...
Justin Jefferson.
Keenan Allen.
DJ Moore.
Cole Kmet, who I'm pretty high on. I don't know about you guys. As a young tight end.
So they should have that. I mean, think about it, David. They should have that guy now. I mean, Keenan Allen could go there and set records this year for single season records for the Bears at the rate he catches balls.
And they're going to be slinging it.
Well, that's the question. Will they?
I think so. They're going to completely lean into his style of play. But, you know, defensive head coach, so maybe not.
It's not in their mold.
You know, I'm still not sold on the offensive line. I know it's a lot better.
We're having trouble with David, but we'll fix that during the next break. Mark, I get what you're... I keep saying this. I keep coming back to this. I am a lot higher on the Bears than most. 7-9 last year. David keeps bringing up the whole, they could be the Lions from 2 years ago. Come on strong at the end. And then you roll into the next season like, let's play. How many games they win? 7-9 last year.
I think best case scenario for them is 10 wins. I really do. I think a lot's got to go right for the Bears to improve three games upon what they did a year ago. I agree with David. The offensive line's close. It's not there yet. But their receiving group, that, you know, the running back room's better. The defense should be at least the same, if not a little bit better.
Improved. I think it's improved. Because you also got to remember, Montez Sweat will have a full training camp, and you know they'll work him in fully. But I'll tell you, I don't think they're going to be world beaters or anything, but I'm high on Williams. I'm high on the Bears. I think they are the most viable option to take the Lions down in the North.
Well, I wouldn't go that far because they have an inexperienced quarterback. I mean, what the Texans did, once again, I think we all have C.J. Stroud in our head, and he's the exception and not the rule. It's tough for a team with a rookie quarterback to take down the division. I would want to give Caleb a little more time than that. To me, that'd be putting a little too much on him.
Well, and I think they are. I think there will be tremendous pressure on them. I think the number people are going to expect is 9-10 games. I think that's, you know, to go from 7 to 10 is a hell of a jump.
Well, I understand, but 9-10 is different than winning the division. I mean, the division champion last year at 12.
I don't think they win the division.
I don't either.
I'm going to go back to what I said at the beginning. Beat the damn Packers.
Yes. To me, they're the third. They're number three in that division until they prove otherwise.
But I'll tell you right now, for my money, I think the Bears split with the Packers this upcoming year. Why not? I think they can beat them in Chicago. Rodgers is gone. Chicago's got their quarterback.
Hey, and Jordan, how many times has Jordan Love lost to him? I mean, listen, this goes way beyond Aaron Rodgers at this point. This is a 30-year thing.
I understand that, but David, you even would agree. Jordan Love, are we sold?
Trent, until the Lions did what they did last year, okay, didn't matter. Didn't matter. The Lions had a four-year stretch where they had three winning seasons, all right? They had a winning season in 2022. Until they did what they did last year, you couldn't give them the benefit of the doubt. You just couldn't.
And I don't give them the benefit of the doubt heading into this year.
The Bears.
No, you're Lions.
You don't?
No.
You don't think they can win the division? What do you?
I think they can win the division. I will more than likely pick them to win the division. But if they were to take a step back, would anybody not named Trent Baalley be at all surprised by that?
Just based on the Lions' mystique, I get what you're saying. But they got a lot better in theory.
You can't call it mystique. Mystique's a good thing.
Lack of mystique.
Right.
The Lions' mistake
checkered
would
past.
would be a better
record.
Way.
Right. Track record, maybe, instead of mistake. But I will say, though, this is how much room Caleb Williams, you know, Remy Adunze, you know, the receivers they've acquired in the last year. I mean, if they're healthy and have half the careers that we think they're going to have, they're going to be legends.
Welcome to the Bonus Hour, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
21 minutes past the hour. Good, bad, and ugly. What's on tap? Today was the day when. Some final thoughts, a pick or two, a boost, a sprinkle. It's all coming up in less than 20 minutes' time.
Thank goodness you and I don't talk much on the weekends.
We'd be dead broke after this past weekend.
After the Rays lost the first two, if I would have texted you Sunday and said, what do you want to place on the Rays, wouldn't you have said whatever we have in the account?
It's exactly what my answer would have been. What do we have left? Yeah, they're not getting swept by the previously 3-22 White Sox. Come on now. That ain't happening. They're the Rays. Yeah. Hey, worst weekend, the Rays or the Phoenix Suns?
Phoenix Suns, because the Rays can still bounce back from this, and it was a terrible weekend, and you know, hopefully we're talking about the Rays as a wild card team. I do think this weekend could prevent them from making a wild card when we look back at when they're sitting at 84, 85 wins, and you're going, really needed to get to 87. Oh, you lost three in a row to the White Sox.
In late April. Like those back. Yeah. So, okay, what do you do here if you're Phoenix? And I know that you got four people listening who care about the Suns, but just imagine that this is your team in the predicament that you're in. They have a first-round pick in this year's draft. This is apparently the worst draft this century.
It is.
And they're picking like 21st or 22nd, something like that. That's number one. They don't have another first-round pick for the next six drafts after that. They also don't have a second-round pick for any of the next seven drafts. So they can't help themselves via the draft until 2031. Also, Bradley Beal, whom they acquired, yeah, he did not waive his no-trade clause. So he's stuck in Phoenix for three more years.
Well, he may ask them to leave.
Well, maybe. But who's going to acquire Bradley Beal at 50-something million a year for 3 years? Devin Booker's Supermax deal kicks in next year. This is the cheapest Devin Booker's ever going to be again. And he's their best player. 49 last night in the loss. And KD's 36. And oh, by the way, we know how the NBA works. Mark, did you see the story that came out 1 hour after the Suns got swept? Shams, okay, just happened to have a story about KD's people. People. Thinking that he's completely misused in this offense. Really? Wonder where Shams got that story from.
And by KD's people, we more than likely mean KD.
KD. Right. Because this is how the NBA works. Right.
Well, and then the story came out that Vogel apparently had it through a nutty and the players laughed at him and didn't take it seriously. And this is the whole problem with Phoenix. But Vogel's gone.
Oh, yeah. Did you see late in the game, Bradley Beal's coming out of the game and Vogel extends his hand because, you know, you just, you know, tap hands and what have you. And Beal literally swatted it away. Right. KD's 36. He's got two more years at 50 plus million a year. Also, because they're so far over the cap, they can't acquire, like KD's, let's just say he makes 50. They can't acquire somebody that makes that salary. They have to acquire people of lesser salary. They have no cap room left at all. None. They can literally only sign people to what the veteran or rookie minimums are. They cannot pay a dollar more than minimum contracts for potentially seven roster spots next year.
And David, for that reason, for that nightmare that you just laid out, do you guys think there's any chance that this Suns team is the last straw? Like, this is just, it's going to make GMs and owners a little bit more weary about this whole recent history of let's just dump all these stars together.
Not as long as there are owners with deep pockets who think they know more than GMs. Because this is not a GM problem. This is an Ishbia problem.
Right. His first move as soon as he acquired the Suns was let's go trade for Kevin Durant.
Right. And then they backed it up with Bradley Beal.
Right.
Right. No, because the NBA is convinced that you put three really talented players together and that's how you win.
Well, what I'm saying is I think this failure and this nightmare that the Suns are dealing with right now, juxtaposed with teams like the Thunder and the Timberwolves, these young teams that are actually building correctly.
But look at what both have. Yes, they're young and they're building correctly, but what do they have? They have their own big three. All right. And so once again, the NBA is obsessed. Going back to the 08 Celtics, the NBA has been obsessed with big threes. What did the Heat do? After looking up at the Celtics, they put together their big three. Okay. The Spurs, what did they have that everybody was trying to catch or beat? They had their own big three. And then, oh, by the way, a Kawhi Leonard came along as a first round pick in which Ginobili became their fourth best player. So, no, Trent, the league is obsessed with big threes. And I don't know who it's going to take to do it. Even look at the Nuggets closely. Their big three finally last year stayed healthy. The only other time they were healthy, Trent, was when? The bubble. They went to the conference final. People forget that. That's who the Lakers beat in the Western Conference final. But Jokic developed even further, and now he's an all-time great. But they've got Murray, and they've got Porter, and they, never mind. And then they went and got Aaron Gordon, who's a hell of a fourth best player on a team.
And remember, when you watch all of this coming up, you'll see it on Amazon Prime.
It may take another year, but yep, you're right, Mark. You are. So, no, Trent, I think the league, kind of like the NFL is obsessed with quarterbacks, as evidenced by this last draft. No, I think the NBA is absolutely obsessed with big threes. The Suns just got it wrong. The rest of the league will just say, well, they got it wrong, but we got to go for a big three ourselves.
Well, and they got wrong by opting for free agency and trades as opposed to the draft, right?
Well, I understand, but, there's two. Well, the Celtics big three was two of the three was acquired by trade.
Heat, same thing.
Yeah, I mean, they drafted, they drafted Wade, and that's it. They acquired Bosch through free agency and LeBron through free agency.
You're either a competent franchise or you're not. Miami still drafted wisely. We trust what Riley was doing to put pieces around. You just don't trust what's going on in Phoenix. There's nothing there. And now they can't get anything. You have no trust in the front office because they have no drafts for the next 7 years or 6 years.
Right. If you ever feel useless, just remember that the Phoenix Suns have a front office.
I mean, the Vikings are looking at the Suns going, we're set for the draft.
Yeah, we've got three picks next year, two of them in the fifth round. We're loaded compared to you guys. So, I just we talk about front offices all the time and the moves that you make and going all in and what have you. And this is what did he pay, $4 billion for this team?
$4 billion.
$4 billion for this team. And the WNBA team in the arena. $4 billion. Right. And in 2 years, remember, he bought a team that in back-to-back years went to the finals and then the next year won 63 games, 64? Won the most games in the league before Dallas took him out in the second round?
Right.
I mean, I think he bought them late in that year where they won the most games in the league.
Yeah, he did. Yep. They went 7 with the Mavs, right? By the way, that coach somehow can't win more than 14 games with the team he's with now, but neither here nor there.
It's not the coach.
Yeah, the talent's a little different.
Well, he's getting paid a lot of money.
He is. Good for him.
The only way they could get him, because no one else would take the job unless they drastically overpaid.
One other sports note that's actually developing during the show. Jarvis Landry is apparently going to be in Jags training camp. Jarvis Landry didn't play last year, but he didn't retire. He's 31, took the year off. He said, my body needed to heal. I was banged up. Jarvis Landry's going to be in the Jags training camp at 31 years of age. Interesting.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes. Until the top of the hour, 16 until our time is up. It's being reported by Andrew Marchant of The Athletic that a little bit of a shakeup has begun on the NFL today. Boomer Esiason out. And there's a new president of CBS Sports. Cower, Phil Simms, and Boomer's contracts all expiring. So we'll see. It's a show that Pat Kerwin's a part of. Pat will be on the show tomorrow. But being reported, and I guess Boomer Esiason addressed it on his morning sports show in New York City on WFAN. He airs the same time as us, 6 to 10. And apparently he addressed it and said, yep, I'll be on the radio, but I will no longer be on the NFL today. So.
It's time for someone to take back this segment, if for no other reason than to stop David from talking about Meghan and Harry. Here's Mark Miller with Today Was the Day When.
Not a lot today, David, but we start in 1961. ABC's Wide World of Sports debuts.
Oh, wow.
Today in 67, Aretha Franklin releases Respect. 1980, with the first pick, the Detroit Lions select Billy Sims.
Yeah, that worked out okay.
It really did. In 86, Bo Jackson, first pick.
By?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
There you go.
Today in 92, the Rodney King riots begin in L.A. and other places around the country. And in 2006, Houston selects Mario Williams with the first pick, not Reggie Bush. Longtime coach George Allen, Bernie Madoff, and Dale Earnhardt all born today. Big list of birthdays. Willie Nelson's 91. Johnny Miller's 77. Jerry Seinfeld is 70. Michelle Pfeiffer, 66. Andre Agassi and Uma Thurman are both 34, and Justin Thomas is 31. What did I miss, David?
Hold on. You said Agassi and Uma are 34.
54. I'm sorry. 54. My mistake. I had 54 written and said 34.
I was going to say, Uma's an attractive woman, but, you know, wow. She's been around for a long time. Let's see. What do we have today? So they, 20 years ago today, the World War II monument opened in D.C. Since I'm a I Love Broadway kind of a guy, Hair premiered on Broadway today in 68.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
They got naked.
Yes, they did.
That was unusual for Broadway.
In fact, that came up. We did it as a high school play.
And what?
We did it as a high school play, and I remember raising my hand and saying to Mr. Glick, we're not going to do the Broadway version of it. He said, no, we're going to clean it up a little bit. I said, well, good, I hope so. Prince William and Kate got married 13 years ago today.
I saw that. I left that one for you.
Thank you. Thank you. And Nixon... 50 years ago today, he released the Watergate tapes after saying no for a very long time and finally had to release the tapes.
You've heard folks elsewhere mock Florida is gonna Florida. Well, Mark Miller sees it differently. He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you got, Mark?
We go to San Jose, California, where Helen Sue becomes a rare bird. She visited all 193 countries that have a UN vote. Our guy Max trying for that same thing, isn't he, David? Certainly seems like it.
He's in Iran this
right.
week. Yeah.
193 countries. Trent, have you been anywhere besides Canada?
Dominican Republic.
Okay.
And that's it.
We go to Michigan for the bad, where a drunk driver hit a sign and then got the car stuck vertically on the street sign. Literally, the sign is holding the car up. Fortunately, all four passengers, including the driver, walked away unarmed. She'll just have a DUI to deal with. And finally, the ugly. We go to Alabama, where a man from Ghana sets a record. And usually these records land you in the good for me, but I don't know how there can be anything good about this. This man hugged 1,123 trees to set a record. You're kidding, right? One, that there's a record on that, and two, that someone would hug over 1,100 trees.
You gotta just be such a clout chaser to want to do something like that.
That is the good, the bad, and the ugly on today, April the 29th, 2024. I don't know.
How many trees have you hugged?
That would be zero.
Same.
Although the tree of knowledge out behind the Hamilton Street pub I may have had to hold on to once or twice because I was overserved.
That counts. Well, I don't know.
So maybe one.
You didn't intentionally hug the tree.
Maybe one.
Over under a half a tree that you've hugged in your life. 21,000 is the text line. Let us know.
Yeah, right.
How many trees have you hugged?
How many trees have you hugged? All right.
What do we got tonight?
Well,
the playoffs roll on.
NHL tonight, Panthers and Lightning, game 5 over in Sunrise. The Panthers are a big favorite, minus 190 in this one, to close out the series against the Lightning. Lightning trying to get it back to Tampa and see if they can make this a series after all. Big one in Vegas tonight, where Vegas leads Dallas 2-1. That game is at 9:30. In the NBA tonight, Celtics and Heat. Heat trying to even up that series. Boston's a 10.5-point favorite.
That's huge. That is huge for a game that's happening in Miami, too. Then you got Thunder Pelicans. That series could also end tonight. OKC trying to sweep. They're up 3-0. They are 5.5-point favorites. That is the NBA TV game tonight.
Yeah, the Celtics, outside of the game where Miami made all their threes, have just
dominated,
crushed them.
Right. And I guess this is kind of how you would maybe expect this series to go.
And right. Lakers and Nuggets. That one is the late game, 10 o'clock. Nuggets are a 7.5-point favorite in that one. Do you think the Nuggets close it out? I think they close it out. I don't know whether or not they'll cover. You're gonna get everything LA has, but I don't think the Lakers have enough. LeBron's played terrifically. He really has.
Yep. So has Anthony Davis, largely. Honestly, for most of the series, AD's been phenomenal too, but Denver's 7.5-point favorites going for the gentleman's sweep. I will say, if the Lakers are able to somehow get this one tonight, then they got to come back to LA for game six, and then we got a series. But
that's really all we're trying to find out tonight. And these, yeah. You know, same thing with the Panthers and Lightning. The Lightning looked really good. They got the defenseman back. That's a big help. Stamkos was terrific. But and Bob did not play his best game. So I'm fired up for the hockey.
Yeah. And if it were any team other than the Lightning in recent history, you probably would, you know, at 3-0, you'd say down and out. But with the Lightning, who's counting them out? They can win tonight. They're going back.
I think they're done tonight.
Okay, so you think
tonight, I think they're done. I think the home ice, being able to match up against the Kucherov line and for Florida to have last change, getting the right D matchups out there, I think that inevitably helps. They're such a better team 5-on-5. If they stay out of the box, they win the hockey game. And so I do think that Florida takes care of business tonight and will finish them off. I think the Heat are in big trouble.
Me too. But like I was saying earlier, I feel like this kind of is how you maybe thought this series would go, right? The Celtics are dominant. Jimmy's hobbled coming in. But the Heat and Spo are good enough to get a game. So it ends in 5 as opposed to 4. But the Celtics, what did they win the East by? 14.5 games? Or not win the East, but one seed?
Right.
By that much distance? Yes. I mean, that's historic. So pretty much what we've expected so far.
Marlins hosting the Nats today. The Marlins are actually favorites. They're minus 145 in this one. That does not happen very often. Yankees and Orioles in a really good series in the AL East gets going in Baltimore tonight. Pretty heavy slate, as always, in baseball. Those are some of the highlights. The Rays taking on Milwaukee. The game I would bet is the Twins and the White Sox. The White Sox are not winning 4 in a row.
Yeah, they're coming back down to earth.
So I would bet, if I were to bet a game, I would bet on the Twins today.
Who are not world beaters by any stretch of the word. However, they are above 500, and the White Sox are, you know, I think they're worse than the Marlins. I think the White Sox are the worst team in baseball. But although right now, if you look at the standings, Marlins fans, you're not dead last. White Sox are. They got one more loss.
So that's what's on tap tonight. Pat Kerwin, David Sampson on the show tomorrow. Now, hopefully David Moulton will be back because the computer decided to take a big you-know-what right here at the end of the show.
We made it. We almost made it to the finish line. We had like 4 minutes left to go, and we lost Moulton.
We lost the computer. We didn't lose Moulton.
Right.
This thing is completely locked up and jammed.
Well.
But engineering's on it.
We're working on it.
So there you have it.
Out of our hands.
Not much.
We're rolling with the punches, right?
I'm not rolling. I mean, I'm literally. This freaks me out. This is the one thing that completely can silence me, because I'm ready to have a conversation and I look up and it's a blank screen.
Nobody to have the conversation with. Well, lucky for you, I mean, you did your own show for a while. So
I'm not worried about it, but you know, at the end of the show, there's not much, you know, we've kind of covered all the bases.
Yes.
I will say, the Tepper thing with the hat, I thought was fun.
That was.
You had to be locked into the hoop. Your play of the day was sensational today.
Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards with one of the best dunks you're going to see. And I'm getting a little fired up now to see, you know, the one thing about Minnesota sweeping and OKC looking like they're sweeping. we might have a pretty good matchup here.
And the younger guard, too.
Right.
That's kind of the – that's what's going on. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Anthony Edwards, they're kind of taking the torch from Kevin Durant in the first round.
So the NBA playoffs, which the ratings will stink because the good teams are going to get knocked out.
Right.
Lakers probably get knocked out tonight. They're done. Phoenix with KD, they're out. Obviously, no Golden State. So they're going to be – there will be a lot of talk – on the four-letter network about the Lakers and Suns and what they need to do, as opposed to
right.
hyping up the next series with some really good players. Because you're right, with what Edwards is doing, what SGA's doing, this is heady stuff.
This NBA playoffs is a little bit reminiscent of the Final Four from 2 years ago, where it's a lot of teams that aren't necessarily blue bloods. They don't draw the ratings, but it's if you want to watch good basketball, good fundamental basketball, if you're a purist, like I am, and I know I'm in the minority.
You're a purist?
I'm a basketball purist.
You're a basketball purist.
Basketball purist.
Can you be a basketball purist at 24 years old?
I don't know. That's a good question. I might stand corrected. However, yeah, I think we're shaping up to have a really good second round.
Because the only thing left, it's too bad that the Knicks are as banged up as they are, because what Brunson's doing is a riot. He was spectacular yesterday. Embiid was awful in the fourth quarter again. He's had one good fourth quarter in four games. It's the only game that they've won.
Mark, Joel Embiid, I believe I saw this the other day, the only MVP winner ever to never play in a conference finals. He's not even made the conference finals. And if that doesn't speak to the NBA these days, I don't know what does.
Well, it's the league you love. And it's why there's a lot of us. When you say basketball purist, that's why I give you a hard time. Because this...
It's warranted.
Is this pure or is this just chucking threes? And whoever makes the most wins. Which is why Denver's refreshing the way they play the game.
Right. Well, in the one game the Heat won in the series, what did they do? They made a blank load of threes.
Yeah, what did they make, 23 threes in that game?
26 maybe? It was a lot.
Because Boston had 23 in the first game. Miami came back with 25, 26 in the next game.
Just bombing away. Yeah, that's a good point. You're right.
It makes it a tough watch when they're not making them.
Yeah.
When the game's on, I'll give you credit. When the threes are going, because everything else will then open up. Mid-range game opens, drives open up when threes start going down. If not, it's let them chuck them, we'll clog the middle.
Yep.
And there's nothing for you to do.
And the pace of play suffers and all that good stuff. I know. I hear you.
But I will make sure I let David know tomorrow that you are a basketball purist.
Ant Edwards, baby. Excited to watch more basketball from him, from Minnesota.
And that's the rest of the networks going, what?
Yeah.
Minnesota? As we have one series in both sports at 2-2. It's Cleveland and Orlando. Only seen on NBA TV. Pat Kerwin, David Sampson on the show tomorrow. Hope you'll join us there. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks for listening to Miller and Moulton.